Disney Magic Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm Megan.
And we like to talk about Disney things.
Sometimes.
Specifically this week, we're talking about Cars 2.
Yep.
The ever-expanding Cars universe.
Why?
It's going to continue to grow.
It will.
After this, with two Planes movies and other Cars movies, and I will bet a Boats movie before long. Like, because there's boats in this movie.
Yeah, boats. The boats are weird. The boats kind of creep me out a little.
Well, like, so there were, it was everything in the last movie was just cars. Yep. And then there were some sentient planes in this movie. So I was like, all right, there we go. That's how we get to planes. Mm-hmm. But there's also some sentient boats. So
at least somewhat sentient. They don't talk a lot. Maybe boats are just dumb.
But they talk more than, you know, normal boats.
Do they, Joel? Today.
Cars 2 premiered June 18th, 2011, and then came out the June 24th for the rest of us. Is the first Pixar film not to be nominated for an Academy Award for Best Animated Film since the creation of that category.
Surprise, surprise.
So yeah, it's obviously the one Pixar movie that has a rotten rating on Rotten Tomatoes as of this recording.
Yep.
It's like frequently the black sheep of the Cars of not of the Cars
of the
movies.
Cars.
It's the black sheep of the Pixar movies. It's the
yeah.
It's the, you know, one where like, well, that's the bad movie they made.
Yeah.
So how'd you feel about this movie, Megan?
I cannot explain to you what happened in this film. Other than Michael Caine was in it for some inexplicable reason.
Yeah, there's one point I heard and I was like, Michael Caine is talking to Larry the Cable Guy for like 5 minutes about their spy caper, and they're all cars. This movie's weird.
I just feel like they wanted to make an entirely different movie, and then Cars happened to kind of go okay, and then it was like just a nightmare mashup.
Yeah, honestly, it's really interesting watching this movie. I didn't hate it. It's obviously the weakest Pixar movie. I would still thumbs up it on a thumbs up, thumbs down scale.
I think I'd probably thumbs down it. If only because I feel like in order to really enjoy a movie, I have to at least be able to be like, this is what happened in this movie. And I really cannot explain to you what happened in this movie. Like, we're going to go through it, but I'm going to get lost several times and not have any clue what the hell is happening. So,
well, there's like, okay, so a Cars sequel, and the idea for a Cars sequel kind of originated from this whole, you know, when they were basically promoting Cars around the world.
Right.
They went to these places and saw different cars. And, you know, there's, like, that kind of... That's interesting. It's interesting enough. And then if you, like, really like Cars, that's really interesting to be able to see, like, Italian cars and Japanese cars and stuff.
Honestly, like, the strongest points of this movie were when they went to different countries and saw different kinds of cars in, like, country environments. That was really cute, and all the little details they put in was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have loved this movie if it was like a road trip movie, if they went to a different country and drove around and saw all the different parts. That would have been totally fine, and they could keep the weird friend storyline thing that was completely out of the blue. I just don't understand why there are spies, Joel.
So this movie really made me want to see an actual spy movie done by Pixar.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was really well done. And, like, the whole, you know, normal goofy guy accidentally
totally
gives the code
fine.
Word. Like, the, you know, it's an Inspector Gadget, Johnny English kind of goofy caper. And, yeah, I bet Pixar could do really well at something like that. And I feel like there's a little bit of, like, we already have a goofy character here. And
it seems shoehorned, I think, is the problem.
And so I do agree, like, then I'm not going to get a really good spy comedy caper from Pixar now because they
did it.
And, like, so they go from the Piston Cup race to the, you know, around the world race.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I get that progression.
That's totally fine.
I do think it does really well as a sequel to Cars. Here's everything that Cars set up, and here's, like, genuine expansion of the world.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not just like they're gonna race a new better car.
Yeah.
So I am glad that it wasn't all about the race again.
I feel like they definitely could have underdone it, but they definitely overdid it as far as like taking on too much.
Yeah,
including spies. Why were there spies?
I mean, It's a spy movie.
Why?
I don't know, because they're making a spy movie. There's more in the movie I like than I didn't like, but we're going to go through the movie.
Okay.
So we start off with this opening secret message to Finn McMissile.
Which is the dumbest name.
Which totally originated in the first car movie. Lightning and Sally were going to go on a date to a, you know, James Bond spy movie, and it's going to be Finn.
McMissile?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So,
It's Michael Caine.
It is Michael Caine.
How is Michael Caine in this movie? Who sat down with Michael Caine and was like, listen, Cars 2.
Probably his grandkids.
That's true.
Like, I feel like there's a lot of, you know, grandkids telling me, all right, you got to be in a Pixar movie now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he's, we get this whole opening action sequence.
Yeah. On an oil rig?
Yes. An oil rig.
Why is the oil rig not sentient? What is the laws of non-sentience in this movie? All this movie did for me, as far as world building goes, other than, like, cool little, like, various country things, was like, what? Where is the line? The lines are further blurred, and I am very confused.
It has to be able to move to be sentient.
Okay.
It has to be able to move under its own power, I guess.
Its own volition?
Yes.
If there was a person, could they drive a car? Is that, like, creepy? Is that bad? I don't know.
There's no people. People aren't a factor in this movie.
Cars.
I really liked... Part of what makes me really want a spy movie out of this now is I really like the action sequences.
The action sequences are great. They were really good. There were a lot of them.
They were really well choreographed.
Yeah. The explosions were great. I cannot imagine how long it took to render.
They were weirdly, like, not hindered by being cars. Like, they did a good job of figuring out how a car would do this.
Some of it was a little bit of a stretch for me. Like, the cabling stuff was a little bit like, that car would just flip upside down.
Well, he's a James Bond car, so, like, James Bond cars have all those things.
That's totally fine, but, like, him, like, suspending himself on tightrope cables is a little far-fetched for me. But most stuff they managed to figure out really well.
Well, like, he, you know, climbs a wall. I was like, hey, that's a pretty good way to climb a wall.
Yeah.
And so they kill him.
Yeah, so part of the problem with this movie to me is that there are lots of scenes where either cars are tortured or they die, or they're crushed into cubes, and I'm, like, real unsettled by that in a children's movie. I mean, it's a vehicle, yeah, but, like...
It's a character.
Yeah, like, you're upset when Bambi's mom dies. Why is it not upsetting when the cube of a car is there?
I mean, it has the same thing, like, the Incredibles, where I'm like, those are sentient beings that are dying.
Yeah.
And they're, like, dying dead.
I'm like... Can cars die of old age? Is that a thing?
I think so, because I think Doc died
had
in...
Doc yeah. Yeah.
So they... Okay, so yeah, that happens next, basically. We go back to Radiator Springs, and we, you know, Lightning's back from winning his fourth Piston Cup, and they do make a comment where, like, Doc's dead.
Because Paul Newman passed
Paul
away.
Paul Newman passed away. So
I was really confused at first, because I forgot who voiced him, so I was like, I was like, what happened? And then I looked it up and I was like, oh.
Well, so Paul Newman passed away, and so they retired the character, killed off the character, what they did. But George Carlin also passed away, who was the VW van.
Yeah, and they just replaced him.
And incidentally, the guy that played the fire truck,
mm-hmm.
His name was Joe Ramp, he died as well. But Fire Truck doesn't have any lines in the second movie.
Yeah, that's fair.
So they did that, but
did the VW van get a paint job?
I don't know. So
I'd have to look it up because he definitely looks different.
You know how, like, from Toy Story to Toy Story 3, like, if you watch them back to back, there's an insane improvement you know, rendering and in animation.
Yeah.
The same thing happens with Cars and Cars 2.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, it's not as long of a thing, and it's kind of weird because they're cars, but, like, they are better animated, like, there's reflections there that weren't there before.
Yeah, there's a lot of lighting betterment there, I think, is what most of it is.
So, it was kind of a weird thing to be like, this is a better done car than that first car. Yeah,
especially when, like, you know, there wasn't as much of a time gap. So between, like, Toy Story and Toy Story 3, it's insane because it was the first movie they did and the fairly recent one. But between Cars and Cars 2, there's only a couple of years. So it's not as drastic. But, like, when you're looking at it, it's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, you did do some stuff.
Well, and I've seen Cars a lot more than Cars 2. Mm-hmm. Just due to, like, nieces and nephews who like Cars.
Fair.
And incidentally, nephews who like Cars and are young enough that they don't get to see Cars 2, because there's a lot of gun violence in Cars 2.
There's a lot of gun violence.
So,
yep.
Parents are gunned with that, which I'm like, that's fair.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they're shooting at cars, but the cars are sentient, so I don't know, it's weird.
So, but, like, I've seen Lightning McQueen from Cars a lot, so, like, looking at him in Cars 2, I'm like, he looks better?
Shinier.
Yeah,
he looks shinier.
It's definitely different. It's definitely an improvement, but it's like,
it's hard to put your finger on.
Yeah, because he's a car, and I can't exactly be like, his hair flows better now, which is usually the key sign of these things.
Yeah.
With, like, Andy, where I'm like, oh, that's real hair instead of black hair.
Skin texture and stuff like that make a big difference, but, like, on a car, it's all kind of shiny and smooth, so. Mm-hmm. And, like, Mater doesn't look that different, because Mater's all gross.
Yeah.
So.
So he spends some time with Mater. We get the beginning of the Dent story.
Yeah.
And
that was cute. That was fine. I didn't mind that. It also sets up though this weird storyline between Lightning and Mater that was like mostly unimportant and could have been like structured really well in a movie that did not involve a huge spy caper, but instead felt really like one note and like stupid, like really petty.
Yeah. So this goes kind of throughout the whole movie where Lightning is somewhat embarrassed by Mater, or knows he's going to be embarrassed by Mater.
Yeah.
Which isn't exactly unfair. Like, I get the be true to yourself message and the don't hide who you are message.
I just have really conflicting feelings about it because, like, it's not done very well. I feel like it's really, like, they literally have, like, one disagreement about it, and that's about it. And then it's also that, like, you know, it's one thing to have friends who are goofy. It's another thing to have friends who are goofy involving you in public for publicity reasons. Like, as a professional and someone who, like, has a large public presence, like, you don't invite all your friends to do all the things. But, like, it's also weird because, like, he basically just hasn't been taking him on his pit crew, and I see no reason why, because, like, they don't interview the pit crew, they're not just, like, hanging out. It's weird.
But, I don't know, like, I'm not, I feel like I'm supposed to be a little angrier at McQueen than I actually am.
I'm really not, especially because I don't really like Mater. I find Mater annoying because I'm old and stuff. Mostly I see this from Lightning's perspective, and I'm like, yeah, okay. I mean, you know, he was a little rude about it, but not really. And then Mater is like, gets more obnoxious as time goes on, and it's just like, this isn't helping your case.
Yeah, there's... Okay, so we get... We're introduced to Francesco, the Formula One racing car, and we get the whole setup of an oil billionaire enterpriser character who has converted to
alternative fuel.
Called All in All.
His name is Miles Axelrod, which I liked. That's cute. And he's voiced by Eddie Izzard, which is delightful. I like looked it up and I was like, who's that? Oh, that was great.
And so he's doing an around the world race. Everybody's going to use All in All to show what a good formula it is. And he's invited McQueen, but McQueen's taking some time off. And so Francesco taunts McQueen, and then Mater gets him involved in the...
Larry King, basically. It was very weird. This was a strange, haphazard setup, I felt like. It was also weird because they go to this restaurant, right? And we've seen the restaurant before when it was, like, abandoned or whatever. But, like, Guido's a bartender there, and, like, everyone's there. I don't...
Well...
It's weird.
Guido has to be the bartender because he's the only one with arms.
Hmm. That's fair.
Like, that type of vehicle is the only...
But it's weird.
...armed vehicle.
It's two jobs? Okay.
I guess. I mean, sure.
It's just a little strange.
I do like, there was a nice little moment where they're just driving over the road, and they get to the nice new part that Lightning McQueen made in the last movie.
And I do really like that, like, they definitely did try and make it seem like Great Neuter Springs has a lot more traffic through it. Mm-hmm. Like, there are definitely other cars around and tourists and stuff, so.
Nice. Minnie and Van show up at the end.
They do, they're cute.
Which was my favorite part of the whole movie, probably.
Yep.
So we
get to this point where he talks about how he hasn't been bringing Mater to the races, which confuses me to no end, because one, at the end of the last movie, he totally brought everybody to the damn race.
Well, everybody did just show up at the last one. Well, like, he was going it alone, and then everybody showed up.
I guess so. But, like, he didn't seem to mind then. And then on top of that, like, I get that Mater is really over the top and kind of embarrassing, but... Like, if you're concerned about a country bumpkin at a NASCAR race, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I get that maybe he wouldn't want to bring him to another country. I get that in Japan he's really embarrassing. But, like, yeah.
Well, but the thing is...
I just don't get it.
Mater also has a job.
Yeah.
Like, he's important to the town.
Yeah.
You know, he's the one and only tow truck there.
Mm-hmm.
So we go to Tokyo.
Yeah, we go to Tokyo right now, and he brings Mater because he feels bad.
Yes.
Okay. I love the Japanese stuff. It's all precious. The vending machines that have everything and anything in them, and the little car capsule hotels that are like rotating garages. Those are super cute. They were playing one of my favorite Japanese bands in the background, which I freaked out about. It's all in caps. Yeah, they're playing Perfume in the background at the party.
I like...
Although, I will say, Perfume does have a song about, like, driving a car, and it was not that song, which I thought was an opportunity missed.
I do like Mater's interactions with Japanese stuff. I like him talking to the garden guy, telling him he's got all the leaves.
That part was funny.
And I like...
The wasabi bit was, like, so old hat, though. Like, that was really, like, are we gonna make this joke? Is that the joke we're gonna make?
Yeah, I like that joke. And I like that joke because I like the little, whatever the car was that was giving it to him.
Giving him a tiny bit at a time. I did like that.
And making the face. And I liked his conclusion being the pistachio ice cream has turned.
Yeah, that was really funny.
So I do think they mined that joke in the best possible way.
They did, but it was, like, not really that necessary.
So, yeah, I liked it. I liked him interacting with the Japanese toilet.
Yes, that was pretty good.
So, he embarrasses Lightning, he leaks on the stage.
Yeah.
And he never leaks, and that's an important plot point that'll come back later.
Apparently.
Which is, like, there were several times where I'm like, they're just not gonna address this? And they do every time at the end. But I was like, it takes a while, and I'm like...
And it's always, like, little things that are, like, not really that necessary. Like, you didn't really have to talk about this in the first place, and you're really pushing it as a plot point, and then you're ignoring it for most of the film.
And it comes back at the end. Like, it totally comes back and is an important clue.
But it's not a really strong clue, so it didn't really have to be there. It just seems a little silly.
So that's when he goes to the bathroom.
This is where I get confused. Okay, first of all, why are there bathrooms?
Because bathrooms are actually, like, car cleaning places. Like, if he's leaking oil, he needs to go to get something to patch up the oil leak.
I guess so. But, like, does that happen often enough that there's, like, regular traffic to bathrooms?
Maybe in Japan with Japanese cars.
That seems weird. It seems weird to have bathrooms.
I mean, I don't know. It does feel like somebody went into a bathroom in Japan and was like, I need to...
These toilets are crazy.
Put Mater in one of these.
Yeah. No, that's fair. But it seems weird that there's bathrooms with, like, large bathrooms with multiple stalls and stuff. Like, I don't know how likely that would be. I don't know how useful that would be.
So they are Finn McMissile and... Sally? No, not Sally. No. Sally's the one from
Holly.
Holly, that's her name. Holly Shiftwell.
Shiftwell, yeah.
So, they are meeting an American agent.
Yeah.
And it's this, like, basic, classic switcheroo kind of mistaken identity thing.
But, okay, what was that thing that he had? Because they don't address it until, like, way later, and now I can't remember.
It was the picture.
Okay.
It was the whatever the data was on for the picture of the leader of the Lemons.
They, like, don't talk about it until they, like, look at the picture, and they don't reference that that's what it was. They're just like, yes, this picture that we have. And I'm like...
Well, they plucked it off of him.
Yeah.
And he made a comment about, like, because he felt it when the agent stuck it up on him and then plucked it off of him.
But, like, they didn't address that when this scene happened, so he was really confused as to why that one little thing was going to be, like, this is spy identifying sort of thing.
Well, he also, you know, said the right code word.
He did say the right code word. That was funny. So,
so they go off and plan to rendezvous with him.
Yeah.
So, there is a lot of, like, coincidences you have to buy to for all this to work out, but I can't pinpoint any one that I felt unreasonable.
Yeah.
Like, which is interesting.
It's almost frustrating, though, because the whole time I was like, what? What? But I couldn't give you a list of, like, what was wrong, other than, like... why is everyone in this movie so dumb? And so it was really like, it's really weird to try and explain. We get a scene with the big bad, and the professor is torturing a car.
Yes, he's torturing the American.
This is full out torture, and then threat to kill, and then possibly killing.
Maybe, I don't know.
It's weird.
Because I think he just blew out his engine. But, well, like, then I don't know what he's going to do with them. Because we see that heat death ray happen on other cars, and they're just blown out. I'm assuming all those cars don't die. We see them later in the movie.
But he definitely threatens to kill him, which is really weird.
And I'm assuming one, like, you know, in standard evil scientist way, I don't think he, like, blows out his engine and then sends him along his way. I'm assuming he kills him there.
But it's just weird. It's weird in a Pixar movie to threaten to kill somebody and torture them. I think it's mostly just like, if these were people, it would be really unsettling and definitely not in a children's movie. But because it's cars, they're like, it's fine. So it's really strange when they're treating them like people in other ways, but not in the torturing, killing way.
Yeah, no.
I don't...
It's the same thing, but like, there's a weirdly high level of violence in this movie.
Yeah, it's very strange.
So we get to the race.
Yeah.
First race. I like the fact that there's one point in here where he turns left to go right.
Yes.
So I like that that's not, like, really pointed out, but is...
it's there.
Clearly happens.
It's Mario Kart-y.
Yes. Good. and we get... so I think what happens here... this isn't super elaborate on, but what I think happens here is they... hijack or intercept the line
radio transmission from Lightning to Mater. That was so unnecessary. There's like no reason to do it other than to push the like problems between Mater and Lightning, which was like not really a well-developed plot in the first place. So it was weird.
It needed to happen because Mater needed to have his own separate story.
Right.
And he needed to have his own separate story because we were pushing the amount of coincidences and misunderstandings as is.
That's fair, but it was just structured a little strangely. They start attacking cars at this point, too. And it's really weird because with the, like, you know, they've got the new gas stuff and it's, like, electromagnetic rays or whatever. It's, you know, like, weird science-y terms that don't actually apply at all. And, but the thing is that we don't get a motivation for that for, like, ages. Not until, like, the end of the movie do we actually see a motivation for that.
I don't mind that because that's kind of basic spy stuff.
I mean, it's not bad, but it does seem like, I don't know, it just felt a little random at the time.
I get that. There's a lot of times, though, like in James Bond movies, where he doesn't understand, like, the reason behind the bad guy tree until the monologue where the, you know, he's going to kill him slowly and
above
it doesn't
the
work.
Shark pit.
Yeah, that's when we find out all the information. That's when we find out all the information in this movie.
That's true.
You know.
But it just seems a little bit weird entwined with all the rest of the random plot.
So, but the thing is, Shiftwell... Okay, so... Lightning hears the word outside, so it goes on to the outside, which costs him the race.
Yeah.
But Shiftwell is the person that says outside.
Can he hear her?
So he has to be able to hear her.
But he seems to not be able to hear her, because he keeps asking Mater why he's telling him these things, as though there's no other context.
So, maybe they don't hook up to the radio line? Maybe, like, there's an additional way that he's talking to her?
It's just weird.
I don't know. This I gotta give you, like, I don't 100% understand
how it's happening. I could not explain to you what is happening here.
But Lightning loses the race.
Wait, I will say, there's one thing I like about this scene, and that's the fact that karate is karate. That was adorable, and that was it. Also, their, like, little happy Japanese chatter as they were leaving the karate studio was precious.
I do like the very restrained use of puns in here.
Yeah.
Like, you can easily overkill puns in a movie
like
this. That's
totally true.
And because they kept it restrained, they did a select few.
Yeah.
They really land well. And good job for that.
Yes.
But so, Lightning is mad at Mater. But he...
He, like, blames Mater for making him lose the race, which seems really stupid.
Well... He blames Mater for making him lose the race to Mater, but then, like, when he's interviewed about why the obvious mistake happened, he pretty much takes the blame himself. He's like, there's been a problem, we figured out, we're going to be solving it. That's really stand up to not be like, it's the pit crew sucks, and it's not my fault.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so...
But it seems weird in the first place to blame Mater. Like, Mater was definitely distracting to him, but if that's the case, why couldn't he just turn off his radio? And drive it himself.
So the setup is supposed to be in races. The pit chief sees the whole track.
Right.
And it's not necessarily the driver's responsibility to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So there could be something where somebody's trying to pass Lightning on the outside, and the pit crew is telling him, move to the outside, block this. That's what you need to do. As far as strategy goes in this race.
But it's, like, half the race that Mater's being distracting and obnoxious, so, like, wouldn't he just give up at some point?
I think... I mean, I'm not a, actual race car driver, and...
No? Joel, you've lied to me all this time!
I don't have, like, a real-life situation, like,
that's
to point to in history
totally
where, like...
Fair.
This is a time when a pit crew chief just started yammering for no reason. But I feel like driving blind in that situation is
worse than...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so, like, because he says several times, like, we need to keep this line clear.
Right.
I need this to be the focus. He just never, like... I would assume that, to turn everything off is a worse strategy.
Scenario.
He's a smart race car. That's probably... How it goes.
Yeah, that's fine.
But I do really like that he has basically grown as a character from the last movie. He doesn't regress into this, like, it's
petty.
My pit crew sucks and that kind of thing. Like, he does...
At least not publicly petty.
Right. Well, that's the thing is, like, he takes it on himself. He's like, we win as a team, we lose as a team. You know, this is just as much my fault as anybody else's, and we're working to correct it. That's really good. And so, and I'm really appreciative of that because I really hate it when... There are movies where, like, a character...
Just completely regresses.
Yeah.
Yeah, that drives me nuts.
And so, I'm really thankful for that. I want to give big thumbs up to Pixar for doing that. At the same time, I feel like I'm not supposed to be on Lightning's side totally. I'm supposed to feel bad for Mater and think Lightning's going out of proportion. I think that's the feeling they're going for. And right in the middle of that, I'm like, what a stand-up guy, Lightning! Good for you!
Good job! Yeah. No, so, I feel like... The characterization of Mater and Lightning and their friendship would probably definitely be more convincing to children. And now that I'm old, it's like, I just don't care, Mater. If you could not, that would be great. Yeah. So it's just a little awkward being old.
So he feels bad. He's gonna go fly home, and he's stopped at the airport by Finn.
Okay. I have a question.
Okay.
So he's going to get on a plane.
Yes.
And Finn stops him at security.
Yes.
There are metal detectors.
There are metal detectors.
There are cars.
There are cars.
I have some bad news for the people at Pixar. Cars are made of metal.
So here's what's funny about that.
What?
Did you see the car going through the metal detector?
Yeah.
He had to take his tires off.
What?
Because it's a take your shoes off at the, you know, metal detector joke. But, like, the one part of the car that's not metal. And so the car's going through the metal detector, and it beeps up, and he goes, aw.
So dumb.
Which I'm assuming is a joke. If it's a joke, which I'm assuming, it's a hilarious joke.
Yeah, okay.
If it's not a joke, come on, guys.
Come on.
But I'm assuming it's a joke.
Yeah.
So we get another action scene.
A chase scene on the tarmac.
Yes.
Mandatory for spy movies.
Which I liked.
It's good.
Honestly,
like, all the action sequences and all the chase scenes are totally fine. There's a lot of them. Which is probably good, because the rest of the plot's, like, a mess. So, like, yeah, okay. Chase scenes.
Yeah.
And this one was fine.
I remember the first time watching this, going, like, this is a very perfect time to do... He's a good backwards driver.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it later in the movie, so I was like, okay, they did that. But, like, I remember the first time watching being very frustrated that they didn't figure out a way to make him drive backwards on the tarmac chase scene when they're hooked up together.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, but they did it later, so that's okay. I'm not mad anymore.
Mater has written a letter to Lightning, and Mater's letter to Lightning is really cute. I especially liked all of his PSSs.
I like the PPS.
Yeah.
The PPS was just, that's funny.
That's funny.
Which is true.
It's fair.
So, the race is in three spots. It's in Tokyo, Italy and London. It was supposed to involve two more places in earlier drafts of the movie, one of which was Paris, and which ended up getting cut out for time and other reasons, but they still have the Paris montage.
They are still in Paris.
Yes, they I feel like they really wanted that Paris montage. They're like, well, we'll set this scene in Paris. There we go. Good job.
Yeah, okay. Good. My favorite thing about the Paris scene was that there was a Cars version of Gusteau's.
Yes.
It was really cute.
Yes.
Yep.
Gusteau's.
Yes.
Pun.
Okay. So, they go to Italy, right?
Yes, they go to Italy.
Okay. At some point, Mater says, is the Pope Mobile Catholic? And later we see the Pope Mobile. Okay, so I'm very confused about the Pope Mobile. So, A, that insinuates that Catholicism is a religion, which also insinuates that, like, Christianity is a thing. Was Jesus a car?
I'm assuming Jesus was a car.
That's weird. I want to see Jesus' car. I demand a biblical story for the next Cars. That's very strange.
I mean...
And then, also, like, when he said the Pope Mobile, I just assumed that the Pope Mobile would be, like, one car, and it would look like the Pope Mobile, but it'd be the Pope, you know? But no, it's a Pope car in the Pope Mobile car.
I mean, it's a Pope Mobile, I'm assuming.
I just... It's so weird.
Yeah, so we're in Italy, and we get a scene with Luigi's family.
That was precious. Yes. I love Luigi's tiny family and his tiny mama who goes to make the Lightning a whole bunch of food. That was precious.
So, obviously, in a lot of these Disney movies, there's hidden Mickeys. They love to put hidden Mickeys.
Everything.
Everywhere. Yeah. All over Disney World, over all the Disney parks.
Yeah.
Throughout all the movies. There have been times where I'm like, I should point these out, and then there are times where I'm like, I can't even try and...
No.
Point out all the hidden Mickeys
that
they cram into everything. So I've not really done that on this podcast, but I have to point out this hidden Mickey because it's the best hidden Mickey ever seen. Luigi's family are all Fiats.
Right.
Which is like, you know, the small Italian car that was like from the 30s to the 50s.
Super Italian, yeah.
So the nickname of that type of car, which I think I'm going to pronounce wrong, but let's go for it, is a Topolino, which is the Italian name for Mickey Mouse.
Oh, my God. So technically his whole family
are hidden Mickeys. Yes.
That's so random, Joel.
Which is the best hidden Mickey.
Oh, yeah.
They totally have ever done.
The most hidden of hidden Mickeys. Except for to Italians, it's probably really obvious.
Yeah.
But other than that.
So we go to a spare parts black market, basically.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
It's weird.
We have this one character who's selling headlights, who has eyes in the headlights and an open windshield.
Absolutely terrifying.
Which I think is put in there just for people who complain about character design from the first movie. To be like...
No, more terrifying.
I think they put that in there and be like, look, you said headlights would be better and it's not. See? See what it looks like?
That honestly is probably the case.
Look at what you wanted and feel bad about it.
Or they went back through character designs and tried to find the creepiest thing they could. Like, yep, mm-hmm, this one. Nope.
So, I like that. It was creepy looking.
It was real creepy. And...
So we find the informant.
Yeah.
So, the whole plot that's been going on here is we're learning that, all the bad guys are lemon cars.
Yeah.
And they're angry about being lemons. And so we find that out because there's a lot of, like, other parts in the picture.
Right.
And so part of being a lemon car is they don't keep making that type of car.
So they don't keep manufacturing parts.
Yes. So you can't get repair parts. I don't know how long cars are supposed to live. I'm assuming Doc died of natural causes. So cars can die of natural causes.
Theoretically.
So how long is a car supposed to live? Does it hinder them if they stop making compatible parts? Do they die faster?
I just don't know.
Because if they do, that's a genuine issue that, like, the car government needs to take into account.
They need better car health care.
Like, that's a genuine issue.
No, it just gets so muddy and weird.
But they're complaining about, like, you know, they stop making parts for these lemon cars. But then there's also all these new parts for these cars, which is like, is that how, in that case, is that that big of a deal at all? Or, like, these really expensive specialized parts that, like, lower class lemon cars can't afford?
And now I'm just picturing that black market as being basically just full of organs.
Oh, yeah, no, totally.
But, like,
I mean...
God, that gets weird. Cars, why?
So,
there's a big meeting of lemon cars in Italy.
Yes. Mater has to go in under disguise.
Yes.
And he, learns all the plot information.
And then at some point when he's like in disguise, it's either before he goes or when he's in disguise, Finn makes some sort of comment about how he thinks he's been playing the idiot the entire time.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Mater, it's right before
Mater
he goes
takes in. That like super to heart. And I don't know why, because I can't imagine that nobody in Mater's life has ever not told him that he's an idiot. But like, I don't know. He's very upset. It is right around here in my notes that I say, this movie is, like, literally an hour and 45 minutes long. This is about when Megan's brain started to frazzle, I think.
The race is also going on at some point here. Italian race is not...
There is an Italian race.
Yes. However, we get to the point where they install a bunch of stuff in Mater, and Mater is... Like, there's miscommunication between Mater and the computer installed on Mater. And I could pretty much have that just for, like, half an hour.
That was pretty delightful. All the disguise stuff was pretty delightful. All the gun stuff was pretty delightful. It was all pretty silly. I liked it.
So, I wrote down, like, more of this, please. More just him saying something and it being, you know, confusing because he has a thick accent. And then something else happens.
Yeah, basically.
So, but he gets kidnapped. Everybody gets kidnapped.
Everybody gets kidnapped.
And they wake up. We wake up in London.
Yep.
In Big Ben. I think it's Big Bentley in this movie.
Yeah, I think so.
And this is the whole, like, we're going to kill you slowly.
Well, it's also really weird because at this point, Mater feels really guilty and keeps saying that everything is all his fault, but, like, none of this is his fault. I guess him getting captured was mildly his fault.
Yeah.
But, like, the other two getting captured was not his fault at all.
Well...
And Lightning being dumb and using the same oil to drive that nobody else was using because they were afraid they were going to be blown up was also not his fault.
I kind of go back and forth on, like, how aware Mater is of the situation. Like, he's pretty forthright that he is just a tow truck.
Yeah.
And, you know, they go, oh, sure, you know, that's such a good disguise, wink, wink. And so part of it's like, you know, all right, Mater's done his job. Like,
yeah.
He's not pretended to be a spy. He's told him he's a tow truck. If they still want to put guns in him,
fine.
That's the problem of British intelligence, not Mater.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's this point where, like, he's sits there and is like, I've been trying to tell you this whole time that I'm just a tow truck. And so, like, I guess he knows on some level that they still think he's a spy and is wanting to go along with it because they're letting him be a spy.
But, like...
Which I get, because it's cool.
Yeah, but he's also, like, dumb enough that there might be a point that he just doesn't quite realize what's going on. And it's just a little strange to try and understand what he's thinking.
Yeah, I can't totally vouch for much of anything here.
Yeah.
Just kind of, yeah. But he does break out. He says dagum, which means gun, or is translated to gun. And,
breaks himself out of his
arms. Yes, he says it several times to, because he doesn't have bullets, but it says it several times to be able to, like, put constraints on the ropes and snap himself out.
Yeah.
Which, again, they really figured out a way around the constraints of being cars
it's
in this
true.
Movie.
It's true, this went well. And then, Holly and Finn get out in the usual Big Ben sort of way, where, like, the... Gotta move to the side, and there's something in the middle, and embrace the thing, and this is basically the Great Mass Detection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they figured it out. How
they
do you do it with
out.
Cars?
It's totally fine.
So they try and shoot the death ray at Lightning, and it doesn't work. So they're gonna blow him up with a bomb, and so Mater goes to warn him, but it turns out Mater is the bomb.
Whoops.
But
then the bomb doesn't work?
The bomb's not armed.
The bomb's not armed, that's what it is.
Yes, the bomb's not armed, and so, but he's trying to tell everybody to get out of pit stop, because that's where the bomb is. Then they escape and tell, no, Mater, you're the bomb, and so, then we get a chase scene.
And Mater's got these, like, rocket boosters, and then he's in the air with the parachute and the rocket boosters, and... I don't know.
It's a fun scene. It's a lot more fun if you're a kid. I get that.
Yeah.
It is a crazy scene. I really like that we did take time to go to Francesco to do, what is happening?
Thank you, Francesco, for being like, what? And the queen to be like, what's happening in the race? That's good, queen.
This whole race has gone totally off the rails at this point.
Yeah.
Because there's a tow truck. This is where the driving backwards comes in.
Yeah.
There's a tow truck. There's driving backwards.
There's rocket boosters.
There's rocket boosters.
There's parachute.
Yes.
The queen likes Lightning McQueen. I thought that was precious.
That's cute.
They, like, show up at the queen, and Mater's, like, figured out that it's the dude, the all-in-all dude.
Well, so they have a little fight scene where all the characters, like, they corner them.
Yeah.
And the bomb starts.
Yeah.
That starts the countdown. So they get to fight everybody.
Yeah.
And so Red, but the fire truck helps, and...
It needs voice deactivation.
Yes.
And Mater at some point has figured out that it's the all-in-all guy.
Because Mater doesn't leak.
Right.
And so somebody had
that
to be leaking on the stage.
That one little tidbit came all the way back.
Yeah.
Which is really stupid.
Which, again, is like, I had forgotten that. I was just like, that's a plot hole.
Yeah, no,
so,
there it is.
That's good job.
And then, yeah, catch the bad guy.
They put the bomb in front of his face, basically, so he has to deactivate it.
It's totally fair.
So, that's, it turns out that he was, I guess, always big oil.
Yeah.
He wanted to make a big grandiose failure of alternative oil to ensure that everybody sticks with oil.
Regular oil.
And so that's successful. We go back to Radiator Springs.
Mater gets knighted.
Yes. Mater gets knighted.
I don't think you can get knighted unless you're British, so good luck with that, Mater.
Well, I guess it works when you're cars.
Apparently.
So she also knighted him with an antenna.
Was precious.
We're playing fast and loose with the knighted rules in this world.
That's fair. I'm just saying that you gotta be British, I'm pretty sure. Or, like, you have to be from the British Isles. Possibly Canada.
So, they come back and they offer Mater basically another spy adventure.
Yeah.
But he's here at Radiator Springs.
He and Holly are dating?
Yes.
It's random. Okay.
Yes, that happens. And then happy ending for all.
Hooray!
He gets to keep the rocket boosters, though.
Yeah, the rocket boosters are cute.
Yeah, so it's obviously the weakest of the Pixar movies.
It was kind of a mess.
And it's the kind of thing where, like, on one hand, you're sitting there going, do we need a Cars sequel? Was Cars the movie that was crying for a sequel?
No.
Which the answer is no. But at the same time, they did what I wanted a Cars sequel to do. Because, like, I would have expected, like, we're making a Cars sequel. I was like, oh, what are they going to do? A bigger race?
Yeah.
And, yeah, they did a bigger race, like, you know, up the ante kind of thing. But I do like that they took time to do something else.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. I just feel like they stretched a little too far.
I don't know if they pulled it off as flawlessly as I would have liked with the whole spy thing, but I like that they did the spy thing. Because
I like that they tried.
I didn't want another, like, big race at the end.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
And I get that Larry the Cable Guy is the main character of this movie.
Yeah.
I get your mileage may vary on labeling Larry the Cable Guy. And if you're not going to get on board for a Larry the Cable Guy movie, it's going to be really hard.
I feel like, so there are two types of Southerners. The kind that find Larry the Cable Guy real funny and love him. And the kind that find him extremely, extremely obnoxious and feel like he's just making a bad name for Southerners. And I tend to camp in the later.
I have seen Larry the Cable Guy live before.
Have you?
Larry the Cable Guy is great live.
Oh, well, that's good.
Larry the Cable Guy, as stand-up, is pretty good in 10 to 15 minute segments.
Yeah, okay.
Like, he can do a solid best of. It's all Southern redneck stereotypes.
Yeah.
And I get that, but, like, he can do that real good. A full Larry the Cable Guy, like, hour-long special runs a little thin.
Not so much.
He's really good at interacting with an audience, so I get that. I have never been, save for Mater, I have never been pleased with a Larry the Cable Guy movie.
Yeah.
Like, the Larry the Cable Guy shtick, it honestly works fine as a stand-up shtick. Does not work well as a let's hang out with this character for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And have to feel bad for him at about minute 48 for about 15 minutes.
Wow.
So, yeah, like, I can't – if your complaint about this movie is I don't like Larry the Cable Guy, I can't do anything for you. And I can't really fault you for it.
Yeah.
Because he's in it a lot.
And, like, yeah, sometimes it plays off as totally, like, charming and funny. But a lot of times it just plays off as, like, oh, I'm a stupid Southerner. La, la, la. And it's, like, great. Again, that's original. I've never heard that one before, ever in my life as a Southerner. Never have I heard that Southerners are stupid.
I do think it gets more flack than it deserves.
I can see that.
Because it's like it's somewhere in the 30s on Rotten Tomatoes. And I'm like, this is like an in the 50s movie.
Yeah, I would say like 50.
Like,
because, like, there were definitely some scenes I, like, honestly laughed at this movie once or twice, and at the very least, the action scenes are really good. The animation was totally great. It looked great.
I mean, it's the bottom of the barrel. It's just a real nice barrel, y'all.
Yeah, it's just the fanciest of barrels. It's like a gilt barrel made of, like, ivory, and it's, like, 400 years old.
Yeah, so
costume is the bottom of it, but, you know.
It's still, like, when you compare, like, it's still Pixar's worst movie.
Oh, definitely.
Is better than some other company's best movies.
Mm, That's true. Yeah. So there are some doozies out there.
Yeah.
So it was like fine.
Yeah. That's the thing. It was fine.
I would not necessarily recommend you watch it, but if you have to watch it, it's like not gonna kill you.
It's not torturous.
No.
Although
occasionally it is.
Except for that one scene.
They torture the car. Totally torturous. Which is all right. Weird.
Fair enough. It's torturous for a scene. By definition.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
much I can argue about that.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, so give it a try or don't. Like it's not a must see. It's also like if you've seen all the Pixar movies but this one, go ahead and watch it.
Yeah.
Then you've seen all the Pixar movies.
It takes an hour and 45 minutes. I looked at it about 7 times to show us how long it was, so I know for a fact.
So, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine. And, like, yeah, just because I say it's fine and everybody says it's terrible, I have to be like, no, it's good.
No.
When it's fine.
It's.
So. Next time, we're going to be doing Brave.
Yay!
The other Pixar movie that is considered to be the other bottom of the barrel Pixar
movie.
Which
is weird as hell to me, but okay.
So, yeah, it's like these two are like, this is where Pixar misstepped.
I don't get it.
So, well, we'll go more into that next week. Until then, bye, guys.
Bye, everybody.